Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People die and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand
this is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks I found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put something
on there. Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
How? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the recipe.
Borrow the pad? That's
your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
To the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
My hair.
WrestlingRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com and Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. We'd also like to give a big shout out to everybody at TNAsylum.com as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. And if you stick around, we talk about Impact a little bit later. But as of course, as always, I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me is my producer, Sir Rockin.
If you hate the music tonight, blame Lindsay Ward.
You know what? He asked me what year popped into my head first. I said 2002. So he's the one that actually picked the music.
If you do not
don't blame me for this.
If you do not like tonight's musical selections, please blame Lindsay Ward.
It's not my fault.
It is.
He's the one that's putting the baby here, not me. Okay.
Anyway, it's Lindsay's fault.
It's not my fault.
Hashtag it, Lindsay's fault.
Hashtag blame Rob.
Indeed. We got lots to get into tonight, Lindsay, including wrestling,
yep.
including wrestling figure news tonight.
We do. We have wrestling figure news. We have Impact. We have regular news. We have Battleground. We have football updates, because as we come on the air, the Bears intercepted the Giants to probably beat the Giants 27-21, but we'll have to see if that changes because there is a minute 54 left in the fourth quarter. Yes, you do get football updates when football's on the show. Just pointing that out.
Just pointing that one out, and it's Eli being Eli tonight. Just pointing that one out.
Yeah, they're playing sloppy. So I think. The Giants may get it talking to after this one because they're about to go to 5-0, and that's never good. Right, Atlanta?
Oh, no, they're going to go 0-6, I believe.
Oh, 0-6?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I messed that up. Anyway, well, at least, you know, Atlanta's 1-5. They need it talking to, too. Come on, boys. Come on. Step it up. Let's start winning games. You know, we'd like to have a winning season. At least a winning season. We'll take that over the playoffs at this stage. And oh yeah, by the way, for everybody that's bummed about the Braves being kicked out in the first round of the playoffs, you're not a real Braves fan unless you know they're going to get kicked out in the first round of the playoffs. Just saying. Just... It happens every freaking year. Just deal with it, people. Deal with it. Anyway, I'm done, I think.
With that sports rant out of the way, let's talk about our question of the night.
Yes, our question of the night. Do you want to see Shawn Michaels return to the ring?
One more time.
Despite what he said, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But speaking of getting back into the ring, I say we go into our new segment, and we'll talk about probably the biggest story of the week, which is, in fact, that John Cena has been cleared to wrestle. He is healthy, and he will be facing Alberto Del Rio in a couple weeks at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, he will be. He's going to be returning to action, not just for Hell in a Cell, but he's going to be back on the road in November and December. Every pay-per-view, he's back. He's healed up. Mr. Cena, Superman, back in the ring. That tricep is healed up. A little surprising that it's happened so fast, though.
Well, it's not really, seeing as apparently the injury was not as severe as they originally anticipated when they actually went in to perform the surgery on it. They found it was only a partial tear as opposed to a complete tear, so that explains why it only took 2 months for it to heal. But I'm sure it wouldn't hurt Cena to probably take an additional 2 to 3 weeks just to sort of let it fully settle. But, well, it's John Cena, and, you know, he wants to get back out on the road, like, now.
He wants to be closer to Nikki and get back on the road.
She lives with him!
Yeah, but she's on the road more, so now they'll have more quality time with one another.
She's gone 2 days a week!
Well, he needs those 2 days. They're very, very important. And by the way, someone once already put out a hit on John Cena and injure him. Matt Goldberg. I see what you did. I see it. You wanted to put out a hit on John Cena. You want to injure him, don't you? I see what you did. Putting hits out on people. See how it is.
Well, you know, he is Matt Goldberg, you know, director extraordinaire, and, you know, he is related to Bill Goldberg in some fashion, plus he has a TV show, The Goldbergs, named after him, so, you know, he's just taking over the world.
He's trending?
He's trending worldwide on Twitter. Hi, Matt! You miss us?
See what happens when you show up for the live show. You know? We pick on you. Almost fun. By the way, if you're a Cowboys fan, don't listen to Tweet of the Week. Anyway.
Brent, listen to Tweet of the Week. Anyway, so yeah, it's there, and it was probably the most shocking moment on Monday Night Raw this past week, though, when they announced that John Cena would be facing Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship. And in fact, a lot of people at Raw were surprised because a lot of people didn't know.
No one really knew that John Cena was returning, and everyone was surprised, and, well, you know, I know when we were sitting here, it was like, oh, wait, John Cena's... Wait, she said John Cena? Really? Really?
Yeah, it's like, really? Out of everybody, John Cena's going to go for the World Heavyweight Championship? But it's like, it makes sense, because he hasn't held it in a long time, but did he ever hold it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's held it many times. Because if you remember, for a while, the world title was the Raw belt.
Oh, that's right. That's right, it was. So, okay. I couldn't remember. It's been on SmackDown for so long, I couldn't remember. But it's a little surprising, but it's not, because it doesn't make sense to put John Cena into the title picture with Orton and Bryan. So it's like, well, we need a challenger for Del Rio. Oh, hey, look, Cena's better. Cena, have Del Rio.
Well, it could be what they're doing on the house show this weekend and using Alberto Del Rio versus Great Khali, so I think John Cena's a step up.
Just a little bit. Well, you know, they could do what they did in the dark match and they could give the title shot to Bray Wyatt, just saying.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt could be the next World Heavyweight Champion.
Could be, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but...
We have plans to make Bray Wyatt the World Heavyweight Champion, so if you want that to happen, stay tuned. Basically.
By the way, Sassy Bray Wyatt is awesome. Just it's amazing. Anyway, moving on. So, I'm actually glad to see Cena coming back, because it's nice for them to get a little bit more star power back on their roster again. And I'm liking the idea of Cena going over to SmackDown and contending for the SmackDown belt, because it's actually something different that they're doing with him.
It is kind of different. It will elevate the World Heavyweight Championship, which everyone says the World Heavyweight title needs to be elevated somewhat, and that's a good thing. And guess what? He's star power. And as for all the people who said to get rid of John Cena, if you keep him out of the main story, he'll be good. It's star power, and sometimes the show needs some star power. And when it's all about the biz-iness and star power...
Yes, three syllables.
Three syllables, biz-iness. He's good for it.
Damien's not ready. Damien, I think they're still trying to build, and it depends on how the title match goes, which we'll talk about next week when we do our...
When we do our
Battleground Pick'em. There are way too many pay-per-views this month.
Hell in a Cell.
Way too many. Hell in a Cell. Way too many pay-per-views. Way too many. I cannot do this.
Next week.
Cannot work like this.
Next week we're doing Bound for Glory. The week after we'll probably record our thoughts for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. Because, well, Lindsay might be going to Impact. So.
Possibly so.
Because it's going to be here in Salt Lake, so.
So we have lots of things in the air, and just keep checking out our website, rockradioshow.com, and the Twitters and the Facebooks, and yeah, all that fun stuff. But anyway, back to the original point of a tangent. Bray Wyatt's the next World Heavyweight Champion. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Rack exclusive. Hashtag Rack exclusive. And as we transition into our next story, the Giants fall to the Bears, 27-21. Oh dear, how sad. All right, now I can change channel back to HGTV. Sweet. All right. So, the next big story coming out of this, and it sort of ties into John Cena just a little bit, is, well, AJ got sent home from Monday Night Raw.
AJ Lee got sent home from Monday Night Raw thanks to a concussion she suffered on Sunday night at Battleground pay-per-view, which we'll get into a little bit later on the show. She was rammed into the turnbuckle by Brie Bella, and after that point, she didn't remember what the hell's going on from the match. On Monday, she was feeling, you know, dizzy and had all the concussion symptoms, couldn't remember the match, and, well, they sent her home. Hopefully, it's just a minor concussion on her end, but, you know, concussions are no joke.
Yeah, concussions are no joke, and what's interesting to note is that CM Punk actually sat with AJ for about an hour after it happened to make sure she was okay. I think he may have also helped her get back to the hotel, but I'm not sure. He at least stayed with her until she was well enough to go back to the hotel.
Really?
Which is kind of sweet of him. Mm-hmm.
I see, I didn't hear that. That's kind of sweet of him.
And then the reason for this, and, well, actually I should say because of this, is that was the reason we got the Six Diva tag on Monday Night Raw featuring Eve Marie, who, well, was getting taught a little lesson.
Yeah, she was taught a little lesson, and this is where I need to pull up a sounder, because, we need a sounder. So,
spoiler alert!
The one on SmackDown is worse.
Just saying.
Yeah, apparently it's worse on SmackDown.
Oh dear, I can't wait. And yes, Matt, I can't imagine a promo battle between Bray and Damien, and I want it. I've been told no, I can't have it, but I want it.
She wants it, she needs it, she must have it in her life, but she's got to wait for it.
I do have to wait for it. But yes, I can totally see it. Unfortunately, well, one of the things we didn't get to see, or well, we actually did get to see the event, but we didn't get to see the aftermath of the event, is, well, the power outage at Battleground. And, well, apparently Vince kind of lost it over the power outage, and he's now supposedly extremely paranoid about WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans, because as we all remember, during the Super Bowl, Taker got drunk and decided to take down the lights in the Superdome in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So Vince is now concerned that the same thing could happen where the lights could go out again at the Superdome. seeing as WWE uses more power for pyros and lighting and video and all that good happy stuff than the NFL does.
Right, yeah, they're big on the power supply. Well, if it goes down, that would be the biggest blackout in the history of the histories. And Vince would flip out.
Well, to be fair, the power outage happened. Vince would flip out. I actually would kind of pay to see that. But they could do it at a convenient spot on the show like they did the last time. Right before the main event. We're all sitting here going, wait, what happened? But yeah, it should also be interesting, or it should be something to note, that, well, another thing from Battleground, or about Battleground, was it was a little chaotic aside from the power outage, because, well, they're taking this whole preventing leaks thing a little seriously.
Yeah, they are.
Thank you, Dolphin guy who was doing picks and getting them all right because you were a leak. They're now not telling the writers the finishes of the match until 2 hours before the show, if that, to prevent leaks and also to prevent online betting.
Oh, they're preventing things. They're trying to prevent things.
They're trying to prevent. Yes, we are a blasphemy show, Matt. We are totally blasphemous.
You know, we're blasphemous because we tell you to use earmuffs. Because if you anyway, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm supposed to be good on this show. I'm going to be good.
No, you're not.
Yeah, because we shouldn't go into the direction where we talk about things. So we're going to let the things stay where they are.
But I like talking about things.
I know you like talking about things, but
I like it when we talk about things and then I can make you evil Photoshop things.
Oh, when I evil Photoshop, it's an adventure, and I have an idea for another evil Photoshop that I have to eventually do. Just follow the buzzard. And it's like we're talking about a thing. Anyway, moving on. Vince was flipping out, and he's trying to prevent the leaks. Yeah, that's where it lays. And Matt, you would be laughing more if you actually knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, you're too young and sensitive for that kind of thing, so we're not going to fill you in on what things actually are. But things don't mean what you think they mean. You're far too young and impressionable for that. And also, I don't want to mess with your mother. I'm pretty sure she would hurt me. So anyway, moving on, and I guess it should also be noted that, well, for this next story, this is kind of sort of a, we're not entirely sure what's going on with it sort of story. WWE did release a statement on it saying that, well, Michael Hayes is in fact taking time off to deal with personal matters, but there was also a rumor going around that Michael Hayes actually got suspended for giving Rosa Mendez alcohol, or trying to give Rosa Mendez alcohol, I should say.
Yeah, from another podcast hosted by a former WWE writer. He basically put it out there that Michael Hayes was fired because he gave Rosa Mendez a drink, or was attempting to give a drink, and she's been through problems for the last 6-8 months, and, well, this was not the first time he's been in an incident like this. He had an incident with Mark Henry years ago, and he barely saved his job, so this time, well, he's been sent home for the immediate future. What the future holds for Michael Hayes is up in the air at the moment. I can see him returning, but it shall be a while.
Well, it depends, because the other part of the story is that B.G. James, Road Dogg, whatever you want to call him, is actually stepping up into Hayes' place. He's very well liked in that place, as he's doing a good job working with creative, of working with the wrestlers. The wrestlers are happy with him there because he speaks their language. He knows what he's doing based on his experience. So everybody seems to be happy to have him in Hayes's place. So it will be a thing to watch to see if Hayes actually returns to that same spot, especially if they're happy with Road Dogg there.
Right. Yeah, Road Dogg is in a good position right now. trying to be one of the agents that have the creative ear. And he's a good mind for business. His family's been in the business for years. So having Road Dogg, BG James, whatever you want to call him, is a good thing.
Absolutely. And I think that concludes the news, at least the news portion of the show.
This does conclude the news part of the show. The next part of the show, well, we got a little bit of something different.
We have WWE Legos!
Yes, we have WWE Legos, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Wrestling Figure Wednesday, available now at youtube.com/MBG1211. Check it out every Wednesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Central.
This is why I let him do the plugs.
And I don't even have that written down. I'm just rolling off the top of my head.
Again, this is why he does the plugs.
But yeah, Legos. Wrestling WWE Legos have hit the stores, apparently. That's kind of cool.
Well, I don't know if they're in the stores, but they were at least announced this past week at the Dallas Toy Fair.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they're coming. Yeah, they're coming to stores near you, rather.
Yes, basically it is called a new line, and it's actually the Bridge Direct. It is not official Legos, but it is a Lego-style product, and basically it's going to be called the Stackdown Universe, and it's the Stackdown playset that comes with a ring with real working ropes, a Jumbotron, TV cameras, referee figure, as well as you get figures of John Cena and The Miz. They're also going to be releasing a train in Rumble, which will feature punching bags, wrestling dummies, and a weight bench for your wrestlers to train on. The set will feature minifigures of Sheamus and Rey Mysterio. There will also be vehicle sets with customizable vehicles with one superstar figure, as well as starter sets, which will come with one figure and a diorama-type display that you can build. And it's actually really kind of cool. There is an Undertaker figure. I may have to go get this.
Of course there's an Undertaker figure. And yes, let's correct it. It is fake Legos. That way Sin Cara can't really totally botch them.
And there is actually a Sin Cara figure, just pointing that out.
I know.
But based on the picture so far, it looks like they have made Cena, Orton, Santino, Kofi, Sheamus, CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and, of course, Taker.
Yeah, you can't have a set without the Undertaker. Just point that one out.
And I like to point out, it's Biker Taker with hair. Thank you. Thank you, fake Legos.
So, anyway, what else is in the news?
What else is in the news? Well, seems Lex Luger is going to get a flashback figure.
Now I wonder, is it going to be... I would assume it's 1993 Lex Luger, because that would be kind of awesome.
Would be kind of awesome.
Now, the bigger question is, would it come with the truck? Not the truck, the...
The Lex Express?
The Lex Express, yes. The van, the truck. Not the truck. The bus.
The
bus. Bus is the
get
word.
Get your vehicles right.
It's going to get there. It's going to get bus. Bus.
I sincerely doubt it comes with the Lex Express, but you never know.
But just think about it. Wouldn't a Lex Express be awesome, though?
Oh, it would be awesome. It would be totally awesome, but I seriously doubt they're going to make it. If they make an Express, I want the DX Express.
Oh, the DX Express. That would be kind of cool.
Especially the one that got blown up by Austin, because that would be awesome. Anyway, moving on, we also have a rumor for WWE Basic 38. The rumor is that Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler, Vicky Guerrero, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre and Kofi Kingston will be a part of this. But what should be noted is that, well, the rumor is now that Drew is actually being pulled from this set, I believe.
Yes, Drew McIntyre is being pulled from it, according to our sources, and will be replaced by The Miz.
So interesting. It seems that, well, they're pulling Drew out mainly because of the fact that he's probably getting repackaged here very shortly. And if they're going to make a figure of him, they might as well not make 3 and B Drew. They should just make, you know, whatever the new one is. So,
yeah.
To which I say, good on you. Just please, for the love of God, don't cut Drew's hair. He will look so stupid with short hair. Okay, really short hair. Shoulder length is fine. Really short hair. Not good. Yeah, just... Hey, you know what? They listen. Just had to, you know, qualify that. And yes, Road Dogg also showed off, breaking news, his figure today on Twitter.
Yeah, at New York Comic Con today, there was a bunch of Mattel figures, which I was showing you pictures of. They have the new Road Dogg Elite figure, where he's in his DX gear from 2000. You have a lot of guys with shirts on them. Got Macho Man, Sheamus, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Zack Ryder has a shirt. You got the Shield, Ambrose, and Rollins in a battle pack with the crate thing. Stupid crate thing. You have CM Punk and The Undertaker, as we mentioned before. Got a bunch of them. The Bellas come over with a Divas title, which is really pink. Why? Matt, I know you're listening to me. Why is the Divas title really, really, really pink? I want an answer. Why is it really pink?
Because it's the girl's belt.
But it's really pink. It's too pink.
It's the girl's belt, and it's Mattel, and they make everything really pink when it comes to girls.
Yeah. It's still pink. Way too pink.
Well, to be fair, it's more of like a Barbie-type pink. It's not that, you know, real deep neon fuchsia that burns out your eyeballs.
Still, it's pink.
Right. Oh, man up about the pink.
There should be a little bit of silver in there. Jesus. Apparently, it's a Walmart series and there's a shirt series. We're getting these things corrected. I'm only following your Twitter. God.
You know, I'm telling you, man, if you're going to correct us, you just need to come on and do this with us.
God.
Seriously.
Going by the Twitter. There's no descriptions in the Twitter.
And he says they don't put money into any of the basic figure belts. See? There you go. And also because it's a girl's belt and it's Mattel. Just saying.
Pink.
Oh my god, they're doing a whole month dedicated to pink, and a pink belt is what bothers you?
Yes. I could complain that the US style has no color to it. It's just gold. Like, the U.S. title is not just gold. It's red, white, and blue, but there's no color to it. Why is there no color? Because they put no money into it. God.
Well, you know what? Why don't you buy the figure with the belt, you go get you some model paint, and then you paint color on it. Will that save you?
No, it should be done for me.
Oh my god, you're such a pain in the tuchus.
You said tuchus. Ladies and gentlemen, Lindsay Ward said the word tuchus on the show.
Your chewiness, it's rubbing off on me.
Tuchus.
Better, it's Tim Stein's. I'm not sure which.
Anyway, I could make a really bad joke, and I'm not going to. So, move on.
Well, that's all the wrestling figure news I have. Do you have any more?
No, go look out for other stuff, figures, because they're going to be releasing new stuff, probably because now they're at Comic-Con, and yeah, it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to some of the series that are coming out, and I know you're looking forward to The Shield coming out in a month.
Yes, comes out in less than a month. I've already got money set aside for it, so woohoo!
Oh, and apparently if I really, really want a U.S. title, which I really don't, but if I could get a U.S. title, I have to buy the one with Antonio Cesaro. Is that the one that comes with a flag?
Probably.
But yeah, the other thing I must mention, WWE Best of Elite Figures are now available at BigBadToyStore.com. So if you want stuff like that, FCM Punk and The Undertaker, Rollins and Ambrose, Rock and Cena, they're all available for pre-order at BigBadToyStore.com.
Ooh, fancy. By the way, one last real news item that I forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go to break, can we talk about Impact? Kane has wrapped See No Evil. Pictures of Kane have now leaked to the interwebs. Kane, ladies and gentlemen, is bald.
yes, Kane is now bald. Very, very bald.
Yes, he shaved his head, and he's now bald again. He obviously shaved it for Jacob Goodnight, which now will lead to rampant speculation probably next week, or later in the show, depending which. Because Rock thinks he's going to grow a mohawk.
No, see, this is where she's confusing things. This is where we're gonna have to do something right here. All right, hold on.
Are we gonna break out the technology screen?
We're bringing out the technology screen. All right. She wanted this. She's been dying for this because we did this last night. She follows us on Facebook. You figured this out already. All right, so here's the technology screen. Should be on your screen right about now. All right, so pick out the little drawing tool, the Telestrator. Let's do it red. So you can see right here, he's growing a mohawk. Talus pears growing in. That's how his hair is growing in, ladies and gentlemen. With that sort of shape.
Yeah. Yes, Rock, ladies and gentlemen, thinks that Kane is growing a mohawk. Too much taker. I don't think so, but this is now going to lead to rampant speculation on at least my part, possibly Rock's, because I'll rope him into it, on what Kane is going to look like when he comes back. And this now also fuels the speculation that Kane will, in fact, be coming back with the Wyatts. Just pointing that out, because, well, he's bald.
Kane
really
is,
bald.
Kane is, in fact, bald at the moment.
And I'm sorry if he ever hears this. You look better bald, dude. You pull it off better. Just, it's like, I saw him bald, I'm like, aw, there's the Kane I know and love. Just not used to the mask. So, it's good to see him bald again.
Good to see him bald again, because there you go, there's a little hair. Well, let's fill it in now, there's red mohawk for Kane.
Give him a fro.
Bring him all the way down the side. There you go. Red mohawk for Kane. Yes, this is what we do with our spare time, ladies and gentlemen.
It looks like he has an antenna. You gave him horns.
Well, I filled it in now. Now look, it's going to look like a mohawk in a minute. So yeah, there you go.
Kane. No, it looks like a circus afro.
Circus afro. Apparently Kane needs a pet of some kind that's in shackles. Wait, you only cruel to animals, or is Kane the one being in shackles?
No, Matt wants him to... He wants Kane to be like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where he's just a mindless pet.
Oh, Kane is the mindless pet. Got it. Okay, got it.
Yeah, basically kind of be like Festus was in a catatonic state.
Now that's just cruelty to animals, Matt Goldberg. Matt Goldberg, cruelty of animals.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. But until then, we're going to throw it to break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's exciting impact, and we'll tell you what happened, because a lot of stuff went down. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
It starts with
one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I'm resigned to trying to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock takes life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on to, didn't even know. I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the War Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the he just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, this fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a
pack of Camel Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get robbed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
I'm Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Never win first place. I don't support the team. I can't take direction, and my socks are never clean. Teachers dated me. My parents hated me. I was always in a fight, cause I can't do nothing right. Every day I fight a war against the mirror. I can't take the person staring back at me. I'm a hazard to myself.
Sorry, singing along with it, cause I... love this song. Anyway, welcome back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemorabiliaLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs.
So you're, now like, we're going so, to move. So you're liking this Throwback Thursday?
I like Throwback Thursday. Throwback Thursday's fun. We're going to do this more often. Reminds me of music that I haven't listened to in years that I kind of want to go back and listen to now.
I know, right? It's like music. Ooh, music. When
it
was
it's like it just takes you right back to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, now we're going to move on to the Impact segment brought to you tonight by our friends over at TNA Asylum, The Haven, for TNA fans. And the show got off to a pretty feisty start, didn't it?
Oh, it sure did, because one, Dixie Carter picked up a microphone, and when you know Dixie Carter picks up a microphone, bless her heart, it gets interesting.
Yes, it does.
You know, last week we all saw what a self-absorbed, egotistical, fringe player who believed in his own hype. You see, that's the problem, and that's why he is not here anymore. And that's why he will never be called by his name in my company ever, ever, ever again. Not by anybody or under any circumstance. But I'll tell you one thing. You know what? I'm the one that provided the opportunity for this certain nameless person to come into my company out of the goodness of my heart. I did not need him. I didn't need him. I don't need anybody to come in here and tell me how to run my own wrestling company. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I don't need an event. I don't need any has-been Eric Bischoff. I don't need any Mr. Stephanie Levesque. And I don't need those good old boy Jarrett. How can they tell me to do anything better when I am the best the industry's ever seen? Now, AJ Styles, let's talk AJ Styles for a second. Good Lord, I certainly do not need him. Jumps the security railing and inserts himself in a match that he had absolutely nothing to do with. I don't blame you. Boo. Boo, AJ. It was ridiculous. I mean, I'm telling you guys. AJ, what are you thinking, buddy? You are not needed here. I'm changing my strategy. I've called my security people. I call my security people. They're welcoming you in tonight, buddy. I pray you're here. Because listen, our hard-working world champ, he deserves a big break tonight. And I'm giving him a little perk. I'm going to let him have carte blanche. Okay, carte blanche, guys. That means like blank check in trailer talk, okay? He is getting carte blanche to book AJ.
Hey. Dixie Carter interrupted by the Icon Sting.
Hey!
What is going on?
Bless your heart. I am so glad you're out here. I know how much you care for me, and I appreciate it. Thank you for being here. You know, we're all hearing what AJ's saying. That come bound for glory is going to be my wake-up call. I mean, seriously, I am awake. I am wide awake. And you know what? It's going to be those guys in the back there. They're the ones. They're the ones that all of them need to wake up and realize that they are under my current review. And darling, that includes you too. Because I seem to remember that was you who said, I've got the best guy in the world to be GM of this company. Well, we all know how well that worked out, right? You know, so Sting, I don't think that that's what we're going to do here, okay? And then this past week, you go and you insert yourself in my position? I mean, he made a little match for himself at Bound for Glory with Magnus? Where do you get off doing that? I mean, seriously, honey, do you want to be like AJ? Do you want to be without a contract? Do you want your future to be over here? Honey, I don't want that of all people. I mean, you know, I don't want that for you. Do you? But I tell you, I'll do it. I will do it. I will do it. What you did last week, you walked us right up to the edge of the cliff. You did by making that match. And now I feel like I have to take it all the way. So I'm thinking, like, who wants to see this man wrestle tonight, right? Yeah. So why don't, before you two wrestle against each other, why don't you bond as one? And let's say a little match against, maybe like Kaz and Daniels. What do you think? You know?
I want you to just spit it out and tell me what is going on.
Listen,
knock it off, Dixie.
Listen, I know Kaz and Daniels are a little ew, but they are good wrestlers, so you're going to have a good match. But since you built the expectations up for your pay-per-view match, my pay-per-view, by the way, guess what? I think we need to, like, keep that ball rolling a little bit. Let's take it up another level. These people want to see you take it up another level. I know I do. So let's say, if either you or Magnus, either one of you don't win tonight, guess what? Neither one of you are going to grace us with your pleasure on our pay-per-view at Bound for Glory. No, I'm saying that if either one of you lose tonight, neither one of you will be at Bound for Glory. Neither one of you. No.
What?
And see, sweetheart, if that happens, let me just say this. Your future here is in the palm of my little bitty hand. Okay? So just remember that, okay? But one other thing, Steve. Hey, that's what's going on. But I do wish you good luck tonight. I really do. And you know I want you to win. You know that. Okay? Good luck.
I heart heal Dixie so much. It's ridiculous.
All right. We all know that it is ridiculous. Heel Dixie is ridiculously bad. But that's the fun.
Yeah, it's like she's so overdramatic with it, but it's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like she's trying so hard to be mean, and she's doing it in that really sweet, sarcastic voice. That it just works. I don't know why it works. It just works. It's awesome.
So she dropped, you know, no more Vinces, probably meaning a Russo.
Or a McMahon.
Or a McMahon. She said no more has-beens like a has-been Bischoffs. No more Mr. Stephanie Levax. Nice little dig there. And and no more good old boys. Good old boy Jared. I don't know how to run her company. Foreshadowing a little bit, maybe, kind of, hopefully.
Just a little bit. You know, maybe we're going to see a return of a good old boy Jarrett.
Quite possibly, but yeah, this segment was interesting. It was a night. One thing that made it, the crowd was hot, and the crowd was hot throughout this entire show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, okay, crowd hot, this is going to be a good show. Yeah, but you know. Sting made a match. She didn't like that Sting made a match, so, well.
And I liked that she put him in his place. I liked that basically it's, yeah, you think you're cock of the walk here, but guess what? I'm the boss. Not you. Right. I'm the boss, and I say what goes.
Right.
So that match you made, That's not okay. But you know what? I'm going to let you earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a really clever way to do it. Because it's, yeah, Dixie's in charge. Everything should be going through Dixie. And Sting shouldn't be able to make a match with him and Magnus at Bound for Glory. It should be something of, well, that's got to go through Dixie now that Hogan's gone.
Right.
But this was a nice segment. It was well done. It was hilarious when she waited for JB to scurry around the ring to let her out of the ring. Which was hilarious.
It was.
But yeah, nice, very nice opening segment. And we cut to the backstage where Austin Aries basically cut a promo on Jeff Hardy regarding Ultimate X and how he was going to win.
The one line, you know, you interrupted my inner monologue. How dare you interrupt my inner monologue?
Right?
Nice little shot there.
Yeah. It's like, bravo, Austin. Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
But then we come back from break and we see AJ unpacking. Basically, he's not concerned about Billy's revenge. He says that he's going to make Dixie Pay come Bound for Glory because she's all about the power, she's all about the money, and, well, after Bound for Glory, he'll have everything she holds dear.
Yep.
Strong words from AJ Styles. But up next, we get our first contest of the evening, a very competitive match between one Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries.
This is a really, really good matchup between the two. They, well, they're Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries. You kind of expect them to have a really, really good match, and it was really, really good. High-flying, intense, everything you want. Aries missed a dropkick at one point. They did a spot on the outside, a double sledge on the outside. That was cool. Yeah, it was a really cool match. And the finish. Ooh, the finish. Ooh.
The finish was nice.
Brain buster from the second rope almost killed poor Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Austin went for the went for blood on that one, and well, he picked up the victory with it, so can't down him for it.
You really can't down him for it, no. So yes, Austin Aries picks up the victory over one Jeff Hardy, which means he builds momentum going into Ultimate X at Bound for Glory. But apparently, Lindsay, apparently, things got a little bit more interesting. Because when you have a microphone in your hand, things sort of happen.
Ultimate exit at Bound for Glory?
Samoa Joe.
What?
Austin Aries, congratulations on an impressive win against an equally impressive opponent. But you see, that's not why I came out here. You see, I came out here because I'm impressed for a different reason. You see, 1 week ago you walked out here on this very mic and you put yourself in the X Division Championship match. And then, not to be outdone, Jeff, you walked out here with your incredible charisma, and you made it an Ultimate X match.
Thanks for the history lesson. Where are you going with this?
Two very, very impressive feats. But you see, boys, even though you both are crazy, crazy charismatic, I don't know if that's the case. It might be these microphones. So let me test something out real quick. You see, come Bound for Glory, there will be a fifth participant in the Ultimate X match. And that man is me, Samoa Joe.
Oh, you kidding me? That's crazy.
So Aries, Hardy, Saban, Manic, you've been put on notice. Live on pay-per-view, San Diego, Bound for Glory. Joe is gonna kill you.
You imagine that? What a five-way it's gonna be. For the X Division title, Ultimate X, it's like an all-star match.
Joe is gonna kill you.
As if this match couldn't get any better, any more high stakes, you throw Samoa Joe into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh yeah, this is going to be good. If nothing else on this pay-per-view is good, this match will be good. Kind of really looking forward to it now. Because you've got the guys that know how to work Ultimate X in Ultimate X.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing that I think has been kind of really disappointing about the last few Ultimate X matches, is you've really only had, like, one guy in there that knows how to actually work the match.
You didn't have any stars in it. Now you have stars.
No, and now it's like you've got Austin Aries, you've got Samoa Joe, you've got Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, Chris Sabin, Manic, five guys. That's going to be an epic.
Yeah.
It's going to be epic. Epic. Show stealer. Show stealer. Bound for Glory. Heard it here first.
Exclusive. But after the bombshell, we see, well, the bromans back talking backstage, and basically they were talking about the embarrassing loss to ODB for Jesse, and, well, he wasn't happy about it. He's going to right the wrong. Robbie E has bro shaved into the back of his head. This is not okay.
No. No, it's not.
Why? Why? Anyway, Clip, Joseph Park, EY, ODB.
Sound. Now.
Sound. Now.
It's the buddy road trip of a lifetime about to kick off right now. All the way to San Diego, Bound for Glory, Joseph Park and Eric Young.
Hey guys,
and fans, you can follow along the entire road trip on ImpactWrestling.com. Brand new video updates every day from the road. Guys, 1,500 miles to San Diego.
Hey, well, GB, I'm so excited for this trip. Hey, everybody, how...
Hey, back up. The kid. Hey, Mom, I got my driver's license. It's going to be fine. We'll be safe. It'll be good.
Oh, my God, JB, this is going to be one wild ride.
All right. They are bound for glory. Wear your seatbelt.
Oh, JB,
that's all. Fasten that thing up. 1,500 miles away, all the way to San Diego. The road trip starts now. Bon voyage, gentlemen. Have a good trip. Be safe. And hold on a second. What's the... Guys. What's the problem?
ODB's got a match tonight. I can't leave yet. I gotta be here.
JB, this isn't starting out too well.
The fact that they're doing a road trip and there's going to be video of it just, like, makes my night.
Mm-hmm.
I now really want to know. And what sucks is they're probably leaving from Tulsa to San Diego, which means they're not gonna come through Salt Lake. Because I would go find them. Actually, the Salt Lake show is after Bound for Glory. But damn it, I would go find them. That'd be amazing.
We need to tweet them and find out their destination route.
We do. Is there a map? Is it going to be like the Sonic road trip where there was a map?
I don't know, but we should find this out at some point.
We should. We totally should. But yeah, this was hilarious.
Like, they're doing a web series where they're going on a road trip to Bound for Glory. They're going to be posting daily videos. Daily videos together. 10 days in a car. I mean, 10 days a car. I don't think it gets any more entertaining than that.
Is ODB going to be with them? That's what I want to know.
It does not know ODB is not on here. Here's what it says: Impact Wrestling superstar Showtime Eric Young continues to serve as a muse to attorney and burgeoning wrestler Joseph Park. EY has invited Park on a 10-day road trip to San Diego, where the duo will participate in a gauntlet match with hopes of fighting for the World Tag Team Titles during Bound for Glory. Get a special look into the life of wrestlers on the road and watch the antics unfold as EY and Park take a road trip to Bound for Glory. Daily videos posted nightly from October 11th to the 20th on ImpactWrestling.com.
Interesting.
So they're going to be in a car together for 10 days. I'm sending you the link to it's ImpactWrestling.com/roadtrip. I'm sending you the link, Lindsay, so you can see the picture they created for this trip.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I And yes, they are going all south, so they're not going through. But they're going to go through. They're going through Arizona. So, Kane Kittens, go find them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you never know. They may make a detour because it's only 1,500 miles and they got 9 days. They can make that in no time. So, they're probably going to take many detours.
Oh, I'm sure they will, but I don't think they're going to take a detour as large as to come up to Salt Lake. Just have a hunch on that.
They could, you know, it's Eric Young and Joseph Park. They could get lost.
If anything, they're going to go to Vegas.
Oh, man.
They somehow wind up in Vegas, they go down to L.A., and then they come into San Diego. Calling it now.
I just love that, you know, hey, Mom, I got my driver's license. Look at me, I got my license. Yay!
Because, you know, that so makes a difference. Oh, dear. Anyway, moving on, as EY and Joseph come running back in, the bromance come out, and basically Jesse challenges ODB to a rematch to restore his honor after losing to her. Unfortunately, well, he didn't regain his honor because, well, ODB still won. This time, though, by DQ, technically.
Technically, when Lady Tapa interfered.
Yes, interfered, attacked ODB, beat her up, left her laying, and posed with the knocked up title. So we see a new contender for the women or for the Knockouts Championship.
Down the line, most likely. Because later in the show, we find out we might have a new number one contender down the line.
We may. We'll have to see. But backstage, we see Bully. He's on his way to deal with the revenge match as we speak, as they head to break. And when we come back, basically, the Aces are having an argument. Bully essentially pins everything on Anderson. He claims it's all Anderson's fault. And then he goes on to say, well, you know, maybe the tombstone on the stage was a little excessive. But dude had it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically Bully says that, well, he's going to give Bish and Nux the honor of handling AJ tonight.
So Bully's revenge, it'll be a handicap match, Nux and Bischoff against AJ Styles. And I like that they reference Ken Anderson a bunch. Sounds like sounds me, some buyers are signed.
Which is awesome if he did. So look for him to maybe pop up in the next couple weeks, possibly at Bound for Glory. We'll have to see. But after this, basically, we have Magnus and Sting have a chat about their match and what it's going to do for them and how they both have something to prove. And then we just get the awesome of Kaz and Daniels, where they knock on the door to find out about the Hall of Fame because it's next. Kaz ducks his head out. We get a Wizard of Oz reference, which is amazing. And then Daniel sticks his head out underneath Kaz, so like literally standing half bent over, yelling at the camera, telling the camera to go away before they go back in the room and they shut the door.
Yeah, that was hilarity.
And before we go to the audio, because we do have audio of this, we go to the easy segment of the night. This was fantastic.
Right, we have it's fantastic. We got to set it up because they don't have the entire thing. They don't have the introduction of the Hall of Fame, but they have 95% of it after that part. So basically, it's Throwback Thursday. So, what do Kaz and Daniels do? They come out wearing matching suits and top hats. One's in bright orange, and one's in baby blue. Reference? Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. We also got an actual Dumb and Dumber reference. We also got a Tim Hortons reference. So we got two Dumb and Dumber and one Tim Hortons reference in one segment.
Right.
Actually, technically in one promo.
In one promo.
That's talent, ladies and gentlemen.
They had suits with top hats and canes. We should talk about them. Daniels talked about trash the fans a little bit. Kaz trashed that there's you know the MLB Hall of Fame. Someone's on the MLB Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and how you know they're not in the TNA Hall of Fame. And this, yeah, what he said for the MLB was Jose Canseco. It's not in the TNA Hall of Fame. And up to the MLB Hall of Fame. It's a shame. It's a crying shame that he's not in there.
Judas Priest was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Thank you, thank you. So there you go. There's that. Then they introduced the man of the hour. The one and only Bobby Roode. Now, we should mention, to set the scene up, they have a big, giant chair for him to sit in.
That looked like it came out of a castle. But I should note, Bobby looked extremely dapper. The two-toned shoes, fantastic. Love them. Now, well played, Bobby.
This is now where we can pick up the audio.
Now, I could have written a novel about all of your wonderful accomplishments here in Impact Wrestling. But instead, Bobby, for you, my friend, I slaved over a hot computer all week, and I made you this.
This is a story of a hero, not a zero. A tale of a Canadian Casanova, a man and a beard that was born to be called legend.
Bobby, who's been going down as one of the all-time greats in this industry.
The Prime Minister of Suave and Debonair. A physique so chiseled, it makes all the girls stare.
He doesn't want to kiss
Bobby Roode.
Beautiful, sexy, cute, and hot.
His charisma has brought together a nation. Our self-appointed leader of the selfish generation.
Bobby Roode to be in the Hall of Fame because he is by far one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Tonight, Bobby Roode is forever immortalized in the Extraordinary Gentlemen's Organization Hall of Fame.
Bobby Roode
should be in the Hall of Fame for one simple reason.
He's Bobby Roode.
Heaven's loss is professional wrestling's gain. Thank you, Bobby Roode. You are truly off the chain.
Truly, truly, ever so truly inspirational, Francois. Well done, well done. Bobby, you are a real, genuine Hall of Famer. Not like Sting, a man who with Magnus will get the beating of his life in this very ring by yours truly and Francois tonight. Sting doesn't deserve to be in a Hall of Fame. Not like you, Bobby Roode. You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Because you are the longest reigning Impact Wrestling champion in this company's history. You are the Prime Minister of Suave and Debonair. You are the it factor of professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the first inductee into the Ego Hall of Fame. Please stand for Bobby Roode. Thank you. Thank you all. Wow. What an amazing evening. What an amazing moment. Let me get this out of the way. I truly need to thank two amazing individuals. Two amazing gentlemen. Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. Because without... Sorry. Damn it, I promised myself I wouldn't cry. Thank you. Without you two gentlemen, none of this, the Ego Hall of Fame,
ego itself would have never, ever taken place. But there is one more individual, one very special individual that needs to be recognized at this moment. An individual who, without the heart, the passion, the desire, and the God-given talent, this night, the Hall of Fame, the reason why you people are all here, the reason why people are watching at home, that individual is none other than me. Yours truly, the It Factor of professional wrestling, Bobby Roode. You see, I am the man, thank you, I am the man who is deserving of the Hall of Fame induction, not Kurt Angle. No, the only reason why Kurt Angle is being inducted into the Hall of Fame of Bound for Glory is because of each and every one of you. But let me ask you something. What has Kurt Angle done lately? What has Kurt Angle done for Impact Wrestling? Let me tell each and every one of you what Bobby Roode has done. I made history as the longest reigning, most dominant world heavyweight champion in the history of Impact Wrestling. I carried this company on my back, main evented all over the world, and what has Kurt Angle done? What has Kurt Angle done for TNA lately? Where? Oh, where is Kurt Angle now? Let me tell you where Kurt Angle is.
No, what? You kidding me? Can't be. Oh, it can be. Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle is back. What? Who the hell let him in here? What is he doing here? I'm shocked. Bobby Roode. Looks like he might find out what Kurt Angle has done lately. Look at the shit Kurt's in.
What about taking time off? He's definitely been training.
Hold on a second. Shut my music off. Shut your mouth, Bobby. By the way, I've been gone a little while. Who are these two? Your girlfriends?
Whoa!
Oh, watch the suit.
Oh, God, right on the back of the head. Back-to-back suplexes for both Daniels and Kazarian. Roode gonna try and bail. Instead of the ankle locking. Look at Roode escape.
Bobby Roode. You just made the biggest mistake of your life. Kurt Angle is back. You, me, Bound for Glory.
Oh, yeah.
So Kurt Angle is back, ladies and gentlemen.
This was a really well-done segment, just from the comedy standpoint, just from the way they set everything up. The promo work was extremely well done, and then on top of all of that, you get the really nice surprise of Angle returning to set up the match with Bobby Roode.
Well done stuff. It was really, really good. Kurt looked in good shape, too. He's been working out, and he's got himself in some good shape.
Yeah, you can tell that when he went away, that he's been taking care of himself and he's doing much better than he was, which is really nice to see. But one thing I wanted to know before we go any further is I find it kind of, I guess, funny mm-hmm. that the entire Main Event Mafia was sort of featured tonight, and it was mentioned, but it wasn't. And you had all the guys in the Main Event Mafia come out to their own music. So I wonder if the Mafia is maybe going bye-bye?
For the tag match, they came out to their separate musics?
Hmm?
For the tag match, it was a separate music gimmick for them? So they came out together.
No, they came out to Sting's music.
Oh, they came out to Sting's music, okay.
But they came out to Sting's music. They didn't come out to the Main Event Mafia theme.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So it's just like, I wonder, that's just, I don't know why, maybe they've been doing that for a couple weeks now and I just haven't noticed, but I just found that rather fascinating that, you know, you don't have, it's like Angle comes back and you don't have the Main Event Mafia music. You know, when Sting came out in the beginning of the show, you didn't hear the Main Event Mafia music. When Joe came out, it wasn't Main Event Mafia. It was all their individual themes or they didn't get one at all. So it's just, it's just kind of interesting.
I would agree. Something to take note of as we move forward.
Yes, as we move forward. So after this fantastic segment, we have Bobby Roode backstage. Basically, he has mad, and he says that, you know, he's not the one that made the mistake. Angle is the one that made the mistake, and, well, Angle's going to get it at Bound for Glory. After this, we now get the Knockouts match of the evening. I keep wanting to say Divas, and that's totally not right. But Knockouts match of the evening featuring Velvet Sky taking on Brooke, where the winner will become a number one contender for the Knockouts Championship. We get a okay match between Brooke and Velvet.
The match was...
I think what helped make it...
The match was fine, and go ahead.
I think what helped make it was Saban.
Mm-hmm. Saban was good, especially during the entrance. He started covering up Velvet, her, you know, pigeons and her breastises.
Yes, basically, you know, trying to, you know, keep her covered because, well, he kept screaming, you know, she's mine, kind of thing. So being the protective boyfriend.
He was trying to de-sexify her.
Yes. You know, he wants to keep that stuff in the bedroom kind of thing.
That sort of thing.
I don't know. But anyway, they have an okay match. Brooke picks up the victory, so she is now going to go to Bound for Glory, while she will face Gail Kim and ODB for the Knockouts Championship.
Should be a good match.
Should be a good match. Should be a very good match. Then we get the WTF promo of the evening.
All right, as simple as this. Ethan Carter III, or EC3, is coming. Yeah.
I have no words for this. I just sat here for like 5 minutes with my jaw hanging open going, what the hell was that?
He tweeted out on 10-10, a 10 of 10 did more in 10 seconds than 10 men ever could, representing a lineage that'll live for 10 billion years. Hashtag Impact Life. His Twitter is Ethan Carter TNA.
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do, but it's just like you sit there and you watch it and you're like, really? Really? Okay, alright, great.
Give it a shot.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a shot. It was like when the promo happened, it was like, when you've got them sitting there with, I guess, a Great Dane, and I couldn't tell what the other dog was, but it was another big black dog. Maybe it was another Great Dane, I don't know. But you've got two chicks standing there with a pair of dogs, massive dogs, and you have him walk on screen. It's just like, what the hell? So, yeah, should be interesting, to say the least. Anyway, moving on, we get to Magnus and Sting taking on Ego, where they have a competitive match. Sting and Magnus pick up the victory. Afterwards, there was a little tension between the two of them, but in the end, they have their arms raised together, and they leave together.
Magnus was upset that he was not able to get the victory for the team. Instead, Sting was able to hit the Stinger Splash and Scorpion Deathdrop for the win. after Magnus had his submission hold locked in and it could not get the job done as one of them came in and broke it up.
Well, you know, y'all can figure that out come next Sunday.
So, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
We then went backstage.
After this?
Go ahead. I was going to say,
go ahead.
We went backstage a little bit for Dixie Carter and AJ Styles. And she came, basically walked up to him, gave him a check, and told him there's a lot of money on there that you can buy a bunch of trailers and teach redneck kids to read. She told him to, you know, just take the check, shake the hands, and just call it a career. Go home. Take your money, go home. You can buy you know, some good stuff down there in Georgia. Because, you know, he said it couldn't buy him and he said it couldn't buy him an entire the check up. Okay, this recap is terrible English. Anyway, that's what it says. He said it couldn't buy him and tire the check up. Yeah. He said it couldn't buy him and then tore the check up before throwing it in her face and walking off. Just reading this word for word. And And Dixie shouted, "I didn't sign that check anyway."
Which is just a fantastic line.
But yeah, I'm liking heel Dixie. Just point that one out.
I'm really liking heel Dixie. This is the most interesting she's been ever.
Oh, without question.
So well done, TNA. Well played. Well done. After this, we get the main event of the evening, which is AJ Styles taking on Garrett Bischoff and Nux of Aces and Eights. We had Bully and Brooke come out to ringside, where Bully kicked TNA out of commentary, and Taz and Bully commentated while Brooks kind of watched from the sidelines.
Bully
and Taz on commentary. Oh,
that,
God.
That was great. That was great. The match itself, it was fine. It was a handicap match. It beat on AJ a bunch. AJ made his comeback. And, you know, AJ was able to finally take advantage and pin Garrett Bischoff for the victory.
Yeah, I mean, it was an okay match. There were some sloppiness to it, but not too terribly bad. But after the match is where things got a little bit interesting. Basically, after the match, Garrett and Nux beat down AJ for a minute before Bully got in the ring. He pushed them off and into the corners, and then he pulled out his chain and began to beat AJ with it. AJ then managed to get up somehow to his feet, and he charged Bully, but he was back body dropped onto the ramp. And we have basically the show closing with Bully Ray standing over AJ, or I guess kneeling over AJ, telling him, I'm going to be the last person you see. I'm going to be the last person you hear. I'm going to mess you up.
It was, you know, the match was okay, but the finish, the segment was really good. The beatdown of AJ Styles.
I would agree.
The beatdown of AJ Styles is what it needed to happen, and it was really well. Really, really well done, I should say.
Yes.
So, good show. Hot crowd. Hot, hot, hot crowd. Can't say, you know, people might say, oh, there weren't a lot of people at the show. Okay, fine. But the people who were there were really, really, really hot.
Yeah, so next week should hopefully be good, too.
From all accounts, from what I've been reading, the crowd stays hot throughout both sets of tapings.
Good. That's what needs to happen.
So, hot crowd. Utah, you're next. Gotta live up to the hype.
We won't. I can tell you that right now. We won't. So, anyway, that is your Impact recap for the evening. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Good show. Look forward to next week. I'm curious to see what they do for the go-home. But on that note, we are going to take our second and final break of the evening. And when we come back, we will be giving you our Battleground recap, what we liked, what we didn't like, what happened on the show in case you've been living under a rock and you didn't know. We'll also be talking about Question of the Night, which is, do you want to see Shawn Michaels return to the week, Tweet of the Week, and, What does the future hold for Bray Wyatt? I guess you'll have to tune in and listen to find out. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long... years. Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
Let it go! Oh my God! Don't do this!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
You are hitting the nail on the head, my good lord. You're just taking me back. Anyway, speaking of back, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are back for the final portion of the show. Yes, we're almost done if you're suffering through it with us, and if you're not, well, continue to have fun as we are. Because, well, now for fun, we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
You might as well go first.
I might as well go first?
Mm-hmm.
Aww. So I'm trying to figure out where I left off last week. Hold on, this takes a minute.
See,
Okay, here we go. I got it.
I unfavorite the ones I use on the show and, you know, that sort of thing.
But I like to keep my favorites. It's awesome.
Fine, whatever, fine. So what do you have?
All right, Biggie Langston. Don't forget to cut the crust off her sandwiches at Tamina Snuka, and always pack an extra juice box. Always.
in reference to AJ Lee.
Yeah. Ricardo Rodriguez. They're here, blows out Lantern, and this comes with a picture,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to put in our chat room, basically, for those of you in the archive that don't see it, if the stupid thing will paste. There we go. That's a good computer. Basically, for those of you in the archive, it's a picture of four rocking chairs sitting in an airport terminal.
That was good. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, well played by Ricardo.
Mm-hmm.
Biggie Langston, you have a sick sense of humor. Or actually, I should say, somebody tweeted him and said, "You have beautiful lips. May I ask for a kiss?" To which he replies, "You have a sick sense of humor. Only if I can cover them in Crisco first." Renee Young, in regards to El Torito flirting with her at Battleground. Now, I don't speak Spanish, but at WWE El Torito, I might get a Rosetta Stone and we'll have a chat and a cuddle.
Nice.
Biggie Langston. Is it just us or did at Biggie Langston lose some weight? To which he replies, I'm on the skin bleaching regime too. Lance Storm. What's with the headband gimmick at WWE Dan O'Brien is wearing? To which Bailey replies, at Landstorm, what's wrong with headbands?
Oh, we're going to
get to... By the way, if you don't follow...
We're going to talk about her here in a minute before we get into anything. We got to talk about her. But, yeah.
Yeah, we got to talk about her. If you don't follow Bailey. She's hilarious. Aiden English. Tonight, watch me conquer RVD on at Hulu. Tomorrow, watch me conquer at WWE NXT at Full Sail. But right now, I conquered the DMV. And lastly, a certain tweet from a certain radio network that got retweeted by a certain Bray Wyatt featuring, well, a certain someone's artwork. That would be Rock's tweet, retweeted by Bray Wyatt featuring my artwork. Thank you.
So I'm supposed to say you're welcome?
Yes. Thank you.
So,
and that's all I have.
That's all you have, okay. Well, yeah, Bray Wyatt retweeted us. It was amazing. Anyway. Michelle Beale tweets, I'm donating all my old bras to Big E. He replied, I prefer your girdle. Scott M. Fishman, the Big Show's new finisher is known as the teardrop. The fake ESPN. After being sacked twice, Tom Brady reminds offensive line that they're trying to raise awareness for breast cancer, not battered women.
Mm.
John Gonzalez, reporter here in Philadelphia. Ruling on the field confirmed. Eli having an awful season. fake John Madden. Romo with 506 yards, the shot at the record. He's about to beat Pate, and he's back. Not Bill Walton. Romification, ha 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 ha. I knew it. Romo pulled a Romo like I always knew he would. Not Bill Walton. Even Latrell Sprewell thinks Tony Romo chokes too much. And PJ Carlos Simo agrees. Not Bill Walton. Leave it up to the Cowboys to finally play defense when they should have just let the Broncos score.
Ooh.
Not Bill Walton. Bad news, Romo. You choked again. Good news, Romo. Your choking is a pre-existing condition and will be covered by Obamacare.
Ha! Ouch.
Not Regal. At Regal says, Vince has Biggie Langston running a hamster wheel backstage to keep the power going. Charles Robinson. Okay, I admit it. I was blow-drying my hair and blew a fuse. Guess I accidentally shut down the show for a few minutes. Hashtag WWE Battleground.
Mini-Nage.
Caitlin, I'm feeling very loved today. Is it that obvious that I'm a sucker for kittens and party hats and overweight unicorns? By the way, happy birthday, Caitlin. It was her birthday a few days ago.
Yes, happy 27th.
Because I followed up with, now that I'm 27, I'm thinking of becoming more mature. Is it still appropriate to laugh at the number 69? What about phallic fruit arrangements? Yes.
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes. Seth Mates, a former WWE writer, next time they do old school Raw, rather than call showing us how to download app, I want Todd Pettengill to show us how to find AOL keyword WWF. And finally, fake John Madden. Manning family power rankings. Number 1, Peyton. Number 2, Archie. Number 3, Cooper. Number 4, Olivia. Number 58, distant cousin Bernie. Number 59, Rover, the family dog. Number 60, Eli.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, and that's Tweet of the Week.
Oh, poor Eli. It's just not his football season.
Oh, no. No, it's definitely not his football season. One more. A couple more, actually. Well, one more, I just saw. From fake John Madden. Breaking, Matt Schaub chopped to heckle Eli Manning outside of his house sometime this evening.
Oh.
For those unaware, a fan heckled Matt Schaub earlier this week outside his home for playing so badly. So there you go. Now that's Tweet of the Week.
By the way, interview quote of the week goes to Bailey.
Yes.
Because she actually figured out how to sneak hug The Undertaker.
Yes, okay. So she did an interview on WWE.com. It's the 10 count or something like that.
Yeah, the 10 count.
And basically, she did it. She made it. She listed it. She was asked a question. Would you ever dare to try to hug The Undertaker? Her reply, I think it's worth a shot. I would have it to be very smart and sneaky about it. I think the best chance at hugging The Undertaker would be during his entrance when the lights go out, right as his theme song starts. I would run out and give him a huge hug and then run away as the lights turn back on. I don't think he would be able to see me on all that fog. Mission accomplished.
The fact that she has thought this out in a logical manner where she could actually get away with it is pure genius. Mm-hmm. I want to see this happen now. Where you just see Taker making his entrance and Bailey runs out, sneak attack hugs him, runs off, and Taker just stands there looking completely confused. Like, what the hell was that?
I totally want to see that happen. That would be kind of awesome.
I kind of need this in my life now. Like, really kind of need this to happen. Like, I just want Bailey to run around and sneak attack everybody. because it'd be hilarious.
It totally would. And if you see, I don't watch much NXT, but when I do, it's usually involving Bayley, and she's kind of amazing. I watched a match earlier today of her versus AJ. Yeah, AJ was screaming, "You want to hug Bayley? Well, I'm hugging your neck."
Yeah. Because basically, Bayley ran up and hugged AJ backstage. And AJ was like, what the hell, y'all?
Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the match, he tried giving AJ a hug like 3 times. But then Bayley finally was able to get her hugs in as she hugged her in and drove AJ into the corner repeatedly. It was kind of awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was so adorable.
She's very adorable. She needs to be brought up on the roster in 2014.
Yeah, they need to bring her up. Like, her and Paige need to come up, like, now. I need Bayley on the roster, like, now. Because she's basically the wrestling embodiment of a fangirl. Which is amazing.
And we all know we need some fangirls in our lives on TV.
Dude, just think about it. She, like, runs up and hugs... I don't know.
CM Punk.
CM Punk, yeah, she runs up and she just hugs CM Punk. And she just runs around hugging people. Like, I don't know why, but I want to see her try to hug Bray Wyatt. Just because it would be hilarious. Because I could picture her actually getting her arms around him and him just standing there. Like, what?
What? Huh? What? Who are you?
Like, he's in the middle of preaching and then all of a sudden... random female just tackles him. Hilarious.
So you want to stick to Bray Wyatt, or do you want to get into Battleground first?
Let's get into Battleground just for time crunch, and then we can get into Bray Wyatt to close the show.
Okay.
So we're not going to necessarily do like the full review that we usually do on Sundays. We're just going to kind of go through everything, give our thoughts real quick, and then move forward. So... starting out, just because this is the way that the matches are listed on my thing, we have...
Oh, hey, look at her thing.
Yes, oh, hey, look at my thing. No, wait, not that thing.
Oh, her things. When it's females, it's her things.
Yes.
Things.
Things, plural. Mm-hmm. To start off the show, we have Dolph Ziggler taking on Damian Sandow.
Yeah, this was a pretty good match. They had a better match on Raw, but this match on the pay-per-view itself was... not pay-per-view, on the pre-show. The kickoff. Battleground kickoff. It was pretty good.
It was. It was a definitely a good way to kick off the pay-per-view. I mean, it was a solid match. I think they didn't put a lot into it just because, one, they probably knew they were getting a rematch on Raw, and two, it's the kickoff. And so you don't necessarily want to put your best stuff forward.
Mm-hmm.
When nobody's going to necessarily remember it, especially with what they did for the finish of the show. So, it was a solid match. You had Ziggler pick up the victory over Damian Sandow. So, good on Ziggler.
Good on Ziggler, and this is where I say we both got that one correct.
Yes, because, you know, somebody went what?
Hey, we're going to get through them all, so you don't have to, Anyway, continue.
2 months in a row. Just saying, 2 months in a row.
We're going to get there.
Anyway, up next we have the real Americans, taking on Santino Marella and the Great Khali.
You missed the match. That was not the first match on the show.
I'm going in the order of WWE.com. Shut up.
All right, fine. I thought, okay, fine.
Just deal with it.
Okay, we'll deal with it. All you need to say is, giant swing, oh my god, giant swing.
Yeah, that was pretty much the sum of that match, is Cesaro did the swing to Khali. Holy crap, that was impressive. And then he did it again on Raw, but it was like on the pay-per-view, because we were all sitting here, and we're watching it, and he starts to pick Khali up, and it's like, no. No, he's not. Oh my god, he's swinging Khali.
Uh-huh. So, the real Americans won that match, and, well, Lindsay got that one right.
Somebody else didn't. Just saying.
You know, when I say you got it right, it means I got it wrong, okay? Is that what you wanted to hear?
No, I didn't say you got it wrong. I just said somebody else, you know, didn't get it right. Good Lord, you're so defensive. God. Anyway, up next is the Divas Champion, AJ Lee, taking on Brie Bella. And this was well done.
This was a solid match between the two. You could tell Brie has improved a lot. And in this match, as we noted earlier at the top of the show, AJ got a concussion being rammed into the ring post during this match. That was a pretty good match between the two. Solid stuff.
It was. You saw AJ pick up the victory over Brie after Tamina basically grabbed hold of Nikki and started choking her out, which was the distraction that AJ needed to get the 1-2-3. And this was a really nice use of both Nikki and Tamina.
Mm-hmm. Basically, Tamina choked the bitch.
Pretty much, yeah. So, very, very solid effort for the ladies, and I hope AJ feels better.
Yes, hopefully AJ feels better, and well, we both got that one correct.
Yes, we did. Ding! After this, we have Bray Wyatt taking on Kofi Kingston. And oh my god, Spider Walk. Holy crap, he did the Spider Walk, y'all.
He did the Spider Walk. His hand, his feet got ahead of his hands for a little bit, but he did the Spider Walk. Match was okay. We talked about something. It was just okay, and you need the right opponent for Bray Wyatt to really show off his skills, and we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get into that. This was a better outing than the Ring of Fire match. Honestly, he's had better matches with other people. Kofi doesn't quite work with him that well, but we got some good solid spots. They were picking up towards the end, and also they were in an awkward spot because where they fell in the show is they actually fell after the Rhodes match, which we'll get into. They were the match right after it, so the crowd was kind of dead for it based on what happened in the match before. But they did a good job. They started to bring the crowd back by the end of it, and they put forth a really solid effort. Again, though, the moment was the Spider Walk. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say the Spider Walk, if you watch Bray Wyatt, he does the little pose in the ring or in the ring corner where he does the back bend and he, you know, looks down. Well, basically, he does the back bend and then he brings his arms down into a bridge and he walks on basically in a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really creepy. It's really impressive because when you look at a guy like Bray Wyatt, you don't think he could do something like that. Even though I'm sure for someone in that industry it's very easy to do, but you look at him and you don't think that he should be able to do that based on just his size. But he can, and it's really cool, and had he actually gotten to the center of the ring and not fell, it would have been a really, really cool spot. But for the 2 seconds we got it, oh my god, it was amazing. Because you just saw him bring his hands down, and it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was not the best, but we'll get into it here in a little bit when we actually fully, you know, gab over Bray Wyatt.
We both got that one correct. That's Bray Wyatt picked up the victory.
After this, we have on the list Intercontinental Champion Curtis Axel taking on R-Truth.
Solid match. Axel needs a better finisher than the neckbreaker.
What happened to, like, the perfect plex?
I guess they don't want him using it. The twisting neckbreaker kind of doesn't have as much as impact as it should. It just seemed like a move, and it really didn't seem like the finish. But it was the finish, and the match was, you know, fine. We're getting more of it tomorrow on SmackDown. Axel wins. Nothing really much to say about it. At least on my end.
Yeah, honestly, I hate saying this, but I don't even really remember that match. So, I would say a solid effort, but yeah, I don't really remember. It doesn't stand out in my mind.
Curtis Axel win, and we both got that one correct.
So, and now we get really to what one would consider the show stealer of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes and Goldust taking on the WWE Tag Team Champions Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns with Dusty Rhodes and Dean Ambrose at ringside. This was match of the night.
Oh, without question, match of the night.
This was absolutely fantastic. It was so well done. We got quite a number of fantastic spots. Cody's moonsault. Oh my god, Cody's moonsault.
Spot on moonsault.
I mean, this was a great effort from both sides. They told a wonderful story. We had Dean Ambrose get the bionic elbow.
Which, if you know, if you remember, I predicted correctly when we were talking
you
about...
You did.
I called that spot, and we saw it when we talked to Brian Shields last week. Go check it out if you haven't. Yeah, really good match, show stealer. The finish was hot, everyone was into it. I liked the one shot was you had Dusty going for Ambrose, then Reigns was going for Dusty, and then you see just Goldust pop out of nowhere, tackle Reigns, and all that distraction led to Cody Rhodes being able to hit the move, the crossroads, for the victory.
And then we have the moment of the Rhodes celebrating, they've defeated the Authority. We had the locker room come out.
Mm-hmm. Great family touching moment it was on this one. And sadly, out of everyone who picked this match, I was the only one who picked the Shield and got that wrong.
Never bet against the Rhodes.
But I believed in the Shield.
Well, I believed in the Shield too, but I knew who was going to win.
I had the
You can believe in him.
I had a theory. It didn't pan out. What do you want from me? What do you want? I had a theory. I had a theory and I went with it. Sorry.
And I'm so proud of you for it. And you got it wrong.
Yeah.
Alright, so moving on. We have World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio taking on Rob Van Dam in a hardcore match. And all I can say is, Ricardo, get your bucket.
Ricardo, get your bucket. This was a pretty good match between the two. Nice spots using different tepid weaponry. Van Dam was pretty good in this one. The finish was really good with the chair and with the arm breaker into the chair. I liked that.
Yeah, that was good. I liked how you had, when we say Ricardo, get your bucket, if you didn't see it, there was a point in the match where Ricardo gets in the ring with Del Rio. The bucket is in the ring, and Ricardo just starts beating the snot out of Del Rio with the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It's like, go Ricardo! Go Ricardo!
Go Ricardo, it's your birthday. Not really, but it's your birthday.
Birthday? Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that was a really, really good spot, because it's like, for all the crap Ricardo's had to take from Del Rio, it's like, yay! He gets a little bit of revenge! Mm-hmm. And now he's dead.
And now he's dead, yeah.
Yeah, so... But this was a really nice one. One of the things that we need to talk about is the slow motion camera, which we'll get into after we go through all the matches, but they actually did a slow motion shot of Van Damme doing the Van Terminator, which was really cool to see.
They were let's get into it now. By the way, Del Rio wins. I got it wrong. Lindsay got it right. Because I predicted RVD winning and then the cash in from Sandow. Throughout the night, they did a lot of slow motion, because they did a video on YouTube about 2 or 3 weeks ago where they showcased this new camera they have that they were trying out in NXT, where you see really slow motion video of the moves. God, it's amazing. They did it throughout.
It is.
They did it throughout the night in every single match. You saw different moves. You saw like a drop kick to Daniel Bryan from Randy Orton. You just see the sweat fly. The hair fly up, stand up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool little tool that they have. And for me, the favorite shot was Van Damme doing the Van Terminator, just because you see him surfing on the chair in midair.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like he throws it out, and then he extends his legs and he kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see how he does that move is really cool.
Yeah, they can't use it for every move and on every, you know, wrestling show, but probably for pay-per-views they'll use it. But yeah, it's a cool camera that they have, cool camera trick that you can use. Yeah, really well done.
Yeah, very well done. Very impressive. Bravo to them. So yeah. Go with the camera. Mm-hmm. After this, we get CM Punk taking on Ryback.
Average match.
Yeah, it was just okay. I mean, it's... Punk did his best with Ryback, but it's just... They don't mix well together.
No, and apparently they're good friends, apparently.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being good friends. They just, in the ring, they don't mix
no,
well
I'm
together.
No, I'm just saying that was a tidbit. I was like, they're good friends? Okay. The match was okay. It wasn't the best. CM Punk and Ryback, they just didn't really click. They really didn't click last year either when they were feuding as often. They had a couple decent matches, but not... The only really good one was the ladder match on Raw, or the TLC match, I should say, earlier this year. This is where CM Punk picked up the victory with a low blow. Yes, folks. Low blow.
Yes. So, a pay-per-view early from his low blow last year.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's just kind of like... And that sort of, I think, cheapened the match for me, because it's like, out of everything, you're going to win with a low blow? Really?
Well, as we talked about on Sunday, in a real fight... Get hit with downstairs with a low blow, you would be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Just pointing that one out. And by the way, this Lindsay got wrong. So did I. But
like, point out, it's the only one I got wrong.
Oh, yeah. So what? Still got to point it out. You got it wrong.
I did get it wrong. I thought Ryback would win. But, well, his losing streak on pay-per-view continues.
It's now at one because he beat Jericho earlier this year.
Yes. So, anyway.
Main event.
Moving on. Main event time. The one that has caused people to lose sleep and pull out their hair and scream and kvetch and moan, and I have a rant on. Not about the main event, but the people. You have Daniel Bryan taking on Randy Orton, which ends in a no contest.
Which we called.
On this show last week, during the Bryan Shields interview, if you go back and listen to it, we actually talked about it. And we all agreed that a draw or... I believe we actually said it was going to be a draw, but a no contest, I believe, is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, where there was not a winner, the WWE title is still vacated, was the way to go with this, and that's the way they went. The match, it was a good match between Bryan and Orton, was not as good as last month's, but it was still a good, solid match between the two. You saw Big Show come out for the finish where he knocks out Daniel Bryan, and then he turns around and he knocks out Randy Orton.
It was a finish. It was an interesting finish. It was the Big Show finally explodes, which we all saw coming at some point. And you know, it was a finish that going into it, it's like no one really knew who was going to win. And coming out of it, we didn't get the winner. While many people in the building were complaining about refunds, bullshit, and all that fun stuff, it was the expected outcome because in 3 weeks it's Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I mean, it's something of, you're going to have a title. It's a good way to set up another title defense, because basically if Bryan or Orton had won, they would have had to found a way to give the other a title shot, which they're not always creative under pressure when it comes to that kind of thing, mm-hmm. Especially, you know, other than, because it's like ultimately you basically have to have Bryan win the title, and then the corporation gives Orton another title shot. Or they try to figure out a way to strip Daniel Bryan of the title again. But ultimately, I think it was a good call on their part to make it a no contest. I really do.
Right.
Because it left a lot of questions open for Monday Night Raw. It opened a lot of doors as far as Hell in the Cell was concerned. You basically have Orton and Bryan both pissed about the situation because they both got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a really smart thing to do. I enjoyed it. I know a lot of people didn't, and I'd like to point out that, you know, they just said it was a title match. They never guaranteed there would be a new WWE champion. Unlike at Hell in a Cell, where Shawn Michaels is personally guaranteed there will be a champion, there was no promise of a champion here. As there, we see, the no contest was within the scope of what could happen.
Right. They told us the title would be on the line, we would be crowning a WWE champion, but they never guaranteed victory. That's a key phrase in advertising. Guarantee. Which is why on Monday, as Lindsay said, HB Shizzle went on the air and said, I guarantee there will be a new WWE champion. Not because it's good for business, it's because what the fans want.
Right, and then this can maybe put that feud to bed. But it's something of... I liked it, just because I didn't... This feud was so hard to call. For everybody doing Pick'em, and for just everybody in general, you look at how even this feud was, you look at everything that's been done going into this match, and it's like you're sitting there and you're going, I can see them both winning.
Yes.
I can see Orton winning, I can see Bryan winning. Because the way that they've set this up is they are so evenly matched in everything that's happened that you can't pick a winner.
Mm-hmm.
So why should there be a winner? At least in this case.
Right, and if you just look at the schedule and the way things worked out, and the way they were doing things, this is what made sense. Give them another match, and then everyone is bitching. I've seen a lot of bitching on a lot of forums and stuff, where they screwed up the ending two months in a row, where Daniel Bryan got screwed on pay-per-view.
He didn't get screwed on last month's pay-per-view. He won the title on last month's pay-per-view. He got screwed over the next night on Raw.
Right. See, that's where people are mixing things up with. It's like, he got screwed 2 months in a row. No, he didn't. He won. This is the first pay-per-view in forever. There was a draw in the main event. Now, let's compare things. So I went through this history with Lindsay Monday, maybe? I think.
Possibly.
I don't know. One of the days. It's all one. If you remember back to 1998, in the legendary feud between Austin, when Austin was WWE champion, I believe it was Breakdown, he lost the title to Undertaker and Kane. He was pinned by both. So, Vince McMahon decided the title was, there was no champion, and that at Unforgiven?
I think so, yeah.
Either Unforgiven or No Mercy. I can't remember. It might have been No Mercy, I think. I don't know. The October pay-per-view, we'll just clarify, October pay-per-view of 98, because I don't remember. Might have been Unforgiven. Either way. That Undertaker and Kane fought for the title, the vacant title, and no one won. Why? Because Austin laid out both men and counted both men's shoulder down for the three count because he was the referee. So we left that event without a champion. So this is not unprecedented where we go into a pay-per-view where we're trying to decide a champion and the title does not actually... A new champion isn't crowned. So there is historical backing to this outcome.
Right. And we will go into the next pay-per-view, and the championship will be restored.
Right.
Which is, in my opinion, this makes the title more valuable because it's like, they're holding up the rules in this case to basically save the honor of the championship. It's like, we can't have a champion that won on a fast count. We can't have a champion that won by quote-unquote nefarious means, so we're going to basically vacate the title because neither man deserves it. And so we're going to crown a champion based on somebody who earns it.
Correct. And they're doing it in a manner in Hell in a Cell with a special referee, Shawn Michaels, which we'll get into in a second, where they guarantee a new champion. And that's what you want. And there's people who think that the title should never be, there's always needs to be a champion. I read it all the time. There's a bunch of Facebook groups saying, we gotta have a champion, we gotta have a champion. The title's been on the line in every main event. It's not like the title's not there. It would be something if they didn't put the title on the line on these pay-per-views. Title's been on the line every main event.
Right. And it's still a focus. It's, we're not seeing the championship every week because there's not a champion. But the title is still the focus of the storyline. It's still what they're fighting for. It's, as you said, it's on the line every pay-per-view. So the title is still being kept relevant. It's still there. It's still the central focus of a storyline. Mm-hmm. It's just we're not visibly seeing it because we don't have a physical champion right now to physically carry the belt.
Correct.
And that makes complete sense. Where, you know, if there is no champion, you shouldn't see that belt.
Correct.
Nobody should hold it. Nobody should have it. It should be in a glass case, or it should be in a box somewhere, or it should be in Triple H and Stephanie's office. You know, where it's, yeah, it's on display, but nobody has it.
Right.
So, I like that they've done this. I like the fact that they actually had the title at ringside on display. That was a nice little touch. But, you know, otherwise, it's, you know, I think this was a good finish. It was a smart finish. And it basically made Monday Night Raw, where you're sitting there going, oh, holy crap, what's going to happen, that much better because you didn't know what was going to happen. It's like, well, Big Show knocked out Daniel Bryan, but he also knocked out Randy Orton. What's that going to do for him in his situation? How are Orton and Bryan going to respond? What are Stephanie and Hunter going to do because Stephanie and Hunter weren't there? You know, what's going to happen to Brad Maddox?
Right.
Like, nothing went to plan Sunday night for them, so it's like, now what do you do?
Yeah, what do you actually do? Yeah, it's a good question.
And then I'm liking the special referee situation for Hell in a Cell, because it's like Sean has enough bias on both sides to where, depending on who wins, they could spin it into something else.
Mm-hmm. Which leads to our question tonight. Do you want to see Shawn Michaels return to the ring one more time? And about the answers we got, yeah, they want to see Shawn Michaels back in the ring. We had a couple who said no, but a couple said, you know, yeah, I want to see him, and I want to see him end the streak.
He's not going to get the streak.
Now, I'm a big Shawn Michaels mark. I'm going to say it right now. He shouldn't be back in the ring. His time has come. We had the retirement. If he came back and wrestled, I'd be all for it. But I don't want... But that's just me.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way, too. Sean's been out of the limelight now. He's off doing his own thing that it would be really cool to see Sean come back, because it's always a pleasure to see Sean wrestle, don't get me wrong. But it's like they did that huge send-off for him that it's sort of really just... It's like, well, why did you do all that if he's just going to come back 5 years later and wrestle again? You know, basically pull a Terry Funk and come out of retirement and wrestle again. It's just, I don't think he needs to wrestle again. It's like, it's nice when he shows up. It's nice when he does things like he's a special guest referee or he's on Raw. And he pops up from time to time, because then we still get to see him, and that's great.
Right, we get to see him and he gets physical. Let him be physical, let him throw out some sweet chin music. You don't need to see him do a match, because... Again, but I can't say this, you know, he's been on the ring forever and he will have no cardio, blah, 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 all that stuff. But then I realized, well, he was gone for 4 years and had one of the best matches of his career against Triple H, where he went 45 minutes after not wrestling for 4 years. So Sean's awesome. He's amazing. And if he were to come back, wrestle WrestleMania 30, be cool. Not going to happen. Shouldn't happen. That's just my view.
Yeah, it's Sean, you know, and Sean has said him that, you know, he wants to honor his word to Taker, that he's retired, he's done. Now, you know, he and Taker, I'm sure if Sean asked Taker, hey, I want to come back and do one more match, Taker'd be like, yeah, do it.
If it's best for business, go right ahead.
Yeah, if it's best for business, go right ahead. But I don't think, you know, Sean's going to do that. I think he's going to stick to his word as best he can and basically stay retired.
Because if the old story goes... Sean wanted to retire, like, in 2007, I believe.
Yeah.
And, like, he was winding down. He had an injury, and, you know, he got rushed back. And this time, he made sure he can't be brought back. He made sure he's done.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and honestly, to tell you the truth, they don't necessarily need Sean anymore.
No, no. And from an in-ring standpoint, no. On TV, when he pops up, he's amazing what he does. He's Shawn Michaels. He's charismatic. He's the heartbreak kid. Not gonna lie. Always enjoy seeing him on Raw. Because he's funny, he's entertaining, he's Shawn Michaels.
Right. But, I mean, as far as in the ring, no.
No. He throws a super kick every now and then. Fine. That's all. He's a good
That's
role.
All.
He's a good role now. Plus, go check out his TV.
He does.
Go plus check out his TV show on OutLife. The OutLife, the Outdoor Network.
Outdoor Channel.
Say. Outdoor Channel. Yes, check it out. Returns October 22nd.
Which she conveniently ties into the pay-per-view. Shocking.
Sean knows how to shill. Like he shilled the app on Monday.
Yes, yes he did. He's such a good little shill.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they're so proud of him.
Well, they probably are. So that was our question.
But, yeah.
So that was our question of the night. Now we're going to get into a little something close to Lindsay's heart. Something dear to Lindsay. And that's Bray Wyatt.
I'm a little obsessed, just a touch. Y'all are just going to have to deal with it until this phase passes, so in like 6 months, I'll probably be okay. Just pointing that out, it's going to be a long road, y'all. Over Bray Wyatt, and I think Rock kind of echoes these concerns just because of what we're seeing, where they did this really big build-up to the debut. Everybody was really excited for the Wyatts. They came in, they took out Kane, they started doing a really nice build with Kane, and then the Ring of Fire happened. And it just kind of went downhill a little bit for there. And it's like the match Sunday night, they did their best. They really tried. But it wasn't good. And one of the things that at least I've been noticing with the Wyatts is they're not getting much of a reaction. Either way, whether it's the tag team or whether it's Bray, they're not necessarily getting much of a reaction and they're not getting a lot of TV time. It's starting to increase now that they're putting him back in a feud with Kofi, and part of that had to do with the fact that after Kane, they had nobody for Bray.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically, okay, well, we need to do something with him because we've debuted him, so we'll stick him with Kane. Well, then Kane left to do the movie, and they didn't have anybody because, well, people got hurt. And people left, or people went on vacation, or whatever. So Bray Wyatt has now been kind of aimlessly drifting. He was not on Night of Champions. We didn't see him at all. He got a match at the last minute for Battleground. And we have no idea if he's going to be on Hell in a Cell yet. But he's just been kind of sort of aimlessly drifting. And that's not necessarily a good thing because we're seeing a reduction in their TV time. You know, they're getting matches on Main Event. They're getting matches on SmackDown. They're showing up on Raw, which is good. But we don't get them for very long. We only get them maybe max for 5 minutes.
Not even lately.
And it's really kind of disconcerting and it's worrisome because this is at least for me, this is a really good gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. It's a tremendous gimmick. It's one of those gimmicks that make you think, especially the promos. It makes you think. It makes you wonder, what is the hidden meaning behind what he is saying? And it's
right.
One of those things that can get you involved, invested, like he has over the gimmick. She enjoys the promos. She gets involved. She tries to figure out the hidden meaning behind every single word he says.
It's more it's the character. It's the developed character. And you can tell when he was down in developmental and you go back and you watch really kind of the first promos that he cut when when Britannia became Bray Wyatt, and you can actually see the evolution of Bray Wyatt in those videos as time passes and the hair grows and the beard grows and he starts to incorporate more of the accent and more of the kind of the fidgety movements and, you know, basically everything that makes Bray Wyatt what he is now. You see that growth of that character and you see how they've developed it and changed it and tweaked it into what it is now. And they've done a really nice job with it and he does a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's very convincing as Bray Wyatt. it's fantastic. And I love characters like that, where it's like you look at the person and they're so, the character's so well developed, well styled, that it's like you look at them and it's, that's Bray Wyatt. That's a real person. That's not a guy playing a character, even though in your head you know that's a guy playing a character. It's that the character is real for that moment. It's good enough that it's able to make you suspend that belief. Mm-hmm. And go, that's a real person. So that's what it is for me, but it's getting back on track. It's to kind of talk more, a little bit more about the Kofi match. His style in the ring, though, it's like for everything he's good at, as far as the promos, as far as the characters, his style in the ring is just an awkward one.
It is. It's very awkward. I think we mentioned it on the show before that he's a husky man, as it were. Pun intended.
Husky with no E.
Husky with no E. If you use an E, he will point it. He will correct you on how to spell it.
And block you.
He is a husky fella, as it were. And, you know, he's not a big fella either. He's 300 pounds, 6'3". So he's in that awkward spot weight-wise where it's like, can he wrestle this style? He wrestles more of a bigger man style. And it doesn't work. He hasn't found the right person to work with. A guy who's really, really fast, he can't work with. As we've seen with Kofi. But what happened on Monday piqued my interest a little bit with, well, The Miz.
Yeah, and this was actually, Rock and I had a really long discussion one night about this. And I think we've had it on the show as well a couple times where it's like, you know, Bray needs that perfect opponent. He needs someone with credentials that he can take on, that it will matter when he wins the feud. Mm-hmm. It will do something. It will help to elevate him a little bit right now, because right now he's still in that news phase. He's just sort of facing people. It's like he took down Kane, which is impressive, but he hasn't done anything since. So it's like you need to sort of get that next level, because it's like, you know, Kane is that really that entry into that sort of upper mid-card to lower main event area that gives you access to a lot of people. So it's like you go through Kane, and then it's like you need to move up to that next level, and so on and so forth. So now Bray's moving on to The Miz, who is, I would argue, either on Kane's level or possibly a little bit above. You know, he's a former WWE champion, former Intercontinental champion. Good God, he's held multiple titles. He's basically the de facto face of WWE because he's the PR guy. He goes out and does everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interviews, public appearances, whatever you name it, The Miz does it. And he's a fairly popular superstar, so it's somebody that you could have Bray Wyatt go after The Miz, and it makes sense, because Miz also sort of represents everything that the Wyatts are against.
Right.
That very cosmopolitan city culture, where Miz is very in the hip and the now, and that's not who Bray Wyatt is, and Bray Wyatt is against that, and he's determined to take that down. So you could tell a really good story between two with that, but I think stylistically, they'll work better with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because Miz isn't the fastest wrestler, he's not the slowest wrestler, but he works a nice speed that I think Bray could adapt to. He'll bump for Bray, and also Bray can sort of match Miz style-wise and take Miz's moves as need be. So I think they'll actually work very well together. I think they'll mesh better than he did with Kofi and with Kane as well.
Right.
Because he didn't really mesh with Kane. But then again, I still say, had that match not been a Ring of Fire, it probably would have been better.
Probably would have done him a little bit more justice, as it were.
Because unfortunately for a Ring of Fire match, there's just really nothing you can do between, you know, big spots and, you know, the fire mm-hmm. sucking all the oxygen out of the ring.
Right.
But, I mean, what do you think of The Miz?
He was one of the guys I threw out there to you that would actually be the perfect opponent for him. I thought he could work the decent style of sell a little bit, talk a little bit, kind of get him over. And Miz, for all he's worth, he is a former WWE champion. and he has that cachet where usually his matches kind of sort of mean something when he has them. He's kind of the guy, you know, he's at this point where he can help elevate a guy because he's a former WWE champion, and right now the Bray Wyatt needs people that can help move him up the ladder rather than put him in a stale, stagnant place like Kofi Kingston is right now.
Right, and also Miz is against the authority, and as we're kind of seeing, Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family are sort of targeting those people just a little bit. They went after Kofi, they've gone after, I think, a couple other people.
And there's a match
Primetime players and those time.
And there's a match on SmackDown where they fight other authority adversaries, as it were.
Yeah, so they're kind of sort of going after the quote unquote heroes and taking them down. And Miz is kind of one of the biggest detractors of the authority, where he's, you know, spoken out multiple times, he's been punished multiple times, and it's something of now you have the Wyatts maybe targeting Miz to take him down because, well, we have speculation about Sister Abigail that we can get into in a minute, but you kind of have them do that, and I think it could do good things for them. Because just the promo battles alone will be good.
Oh, given time, yeah.
And also the fact that they have actually been working very hard to rebuild the Miz in a way.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of trying to give Miz a little bit of an edge, as it were.
Yeah. So I think this will be good for him, but the other question mark, and what really kind of sparked this whole conversation is, you know, we were worried because Bray Wyatt's just kind of aimlessly drifting. We know that Kane has wrapped See No Evil, so Kane will be on his way back shortly. Whether he comes back with the Wyatts or against the Wyatts, we have no idea. Seeing as he shaved his head, it will probably be against the Wyatt, or it should be, I'm sorry, with the Wyatts. He'll be Bray Wyatt's puppet, basically, which would actually do them a lot of good because you have that experienced hand with them that can kind of sort of help guide all three of them.
Right.
Because I think the other problem with the Wyatts is you don't have that experienced guy that's been on the roster for a while that kind of knows how it all works. With them, it's basically...
You need someone to give a lending hand, teach them the ropes, teach them how to do things, you know, how to sell in this certain situation, how to do this in this situation. They need that sort of guy. They need that veteran to lead the way. And Miz could do it, but Kane would be a better person for that role.
Yeah, and I think he'll do them good as far as working with them. But what's kind of sparked this conversation was we read the SmackDown spoilers. Mm-hmm. This is not a spoiler because it was a dark match, so deal with it. Basically, on SmackDown, they did a 20-man battle royal in which you had Bray Wyatt win it. Which it's like, okay, well, that's great. You know, he picked up a victory. That's wonderful to hear. Well, the victory was basically you got to take on Alberto Del Rio for the title.
I don't think. Yeah, it was for a title. It wasn't really much of a. But the mere concept of him winning the battle royal and then going on to fight Del Rio for the world title made you speculate a little bit. Think a little bit. Could it be something in his future where he is a future world champion and in a feud with a guy like Del Rio or another person?
Like a Cena.
Like a John Cena. Is John Cena being brought back to feud with Del Rio? Or is John Cena being brought back to feud with Bray Wyatt?
Yeah. Rock and I kind of speculated that after Kane, we were curious to know if maybe John Cena was the one that possibly Wyatt was going to go after, which I know a lot of people will laugh at, but it's... Because he was going on for a while about, you know, there are no more heroes. And he's the biggest hero in WWE, John Cena.
It's John Cena.
So
it's like, makes you wonder, could it be that direction?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's just saying, could it be that direction? Could they be going in that route where it's John Cena versus Bray Wyatt at some point later this year, early next year for the World Heavyweight title?
It could be for the World Heavyweight title. It could not be for the World Heavyweight title. I mean, the Battle Royal is, you put him in the ring with 19 other guys, including his own boys, which you know he didn't touch. So really, it's 17 guys. So you can see who he works well with stylistically. He gets a lot of exposure to a lot of different styles, a lot of different people. You can kind of sort of keep an eye on him and see who he works well with, who he doesn't work well with, mm-hmm. that sort of point feud with. And putting him in with Del Rio, again, I think is just sort of feeling him out, seeing how he does with somebody like Del Rio. And so, I mean, granted, it's still kind of sort of get maybe the reaction to a Wyatt-Del Rio feud, see if that's something they'd maybe want to do down the line.
Right, and they use the dark matches to test things out. And, you know, as Lindsay pointed out, the Wyatts haven't gotten much of a reaction lately. But putting them in the main event and in the dark match and having them go over and be the last people standing at the end of the night kind of means, as much as we debate back and forth, are they in favor, are they out of favor, are they going to push, or is it going to be de-pushed? That kind of, again, one night we think, oh, they're getting de-pushed. The next night it's, oh, they're getting pushed. It's an up and down thing. It's a daily, really, thing.
Well, it's more, I think, they've just been in limbo now since SummerSlam, and nothing's been going on with them, and it's worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that, you know, you and I started thinking, well, what if when they were supposed to get out, got hurt, or went on vacation, or whatever, and left for a little bit, and now that person is potentially coming back in possibly John Cena, where it's, you take Miz, and also the other person that they maybe had thought for them was busy, like Miz. Miz was busy for a while. So it's, you free Miz up and you give Miz to Wyatt mm-hmm. a little bit, and then maybe you give Wyatt to Cena, because if anybody could make Wyatt, it's Cena.
Right. Because at this stage of the game, John Cena should be all about making people rather than himself.
Because, you know, what helped make the Shield? Punk and Cena.
Mm-hmm. And Kane and Daniel Bryan.
And Kane and Daniel Bryan, but I mean, as far as getting them over as just badasses, really before they start wrestling anybody, it was them going after Punk and them. Well, they didn't even really go after Punk, but basically them being tied to Punk
and
screwing Ryback over
mm-hmm,
and going after Cena.
Mm-hmm, Ryback, Cena, The Rock. Yeah.
So I think they're going to try and do that same formula with the Wyatts.
They may or they may not, but I would hope so. I hope that, because it's a very interesting direction, it's a very intriguing direction, rather, that I would like to see them go down.
Yeah, and I, you know, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a Bray Wyatt Cena feud. I wouldn't mind seeing the Miz Wyatt feud. I'm actually really curious to see both, because they both represent everything that the Wyatt family is against.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something of, they are the sort of harbingers of that culture for the WWE. And really, to see them where the Miz, but to take them down helps Wyatt's cause, because he's all about bringing down the machine.
Right.
And leading down the road, we've talked about this before, where the Wyatts potentially try to take over the WWE, or at least go after Hunter and Steph to ultimately bring everything down, which is, you know, it's a long shot, but it could happen. Whereas they go through all these people and they take down all the heroes. So there's nobody left standing when Wyatt makes his move.
Right.
And makes the bid for power, because the heels aren't going to step up. The heels aren't going to do anything. So it's, with the faces gone, and Bray Wyatt having gone through all of them, it would be all too easy for him to maybe seize power.
This is true.
And what's the best way to seize power? Title.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's either World Heavyweight or WWE title. I mean, think about that. They don't want Daniel Bryan as their champion. Think about Bray Wyatt as their champion.
What if Bray Wyatt is their champion? God, the WWE would be in troubles. Just pointing that one out.
Yeah, just pointing that one out. It would be really cool to see, but yeah, that would be trouble, because it's like Daniel Bryan just be standing and be like, oh yeah? Bet you miss me now, don't you?
Wish you had me as your face in WWE now, don't you? Huh? 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 Huh?
Huh?
Huh? See? I wouldn't be this bad. I'm not Bray Wyatt.
And he's got a worse beard than I do.
Mm-hmm. As Lindsay knows.
Oh my god, that thing is so fluffy! It is! He's fluffy and furry!
They all are, apparently.
Well, out of the three, Harper's the furriest, but Bray's got the fluffiest beard. If you don't know what we're talking about, and we referenced it earlier, I'll go ahead and plug my shit now. I did a portrait of Bray Wyatt, just out of practice. I had nothing to do at work the last weekend, and so I needed something to do, and I just started to draw Bray Wyatt, because I wanted a little practice with my drawing tablet. Did a portrait of him, which gave me a headache, because just drawing his beard alone took probably an hour and a half, I would say, total, to do everything to it. Really took me 6 to 8 hours total to completely do, with all the line work and all the color and everything. You can go view it at my Behance profile. It's behance.net/LinsWard, LANSWARD. It's up. It's the first one there. You can't miss it. But yeah, his beard is fluffy. And he's just furry. The other two are too, but actually, Rowan's not too bad. He's just, because the other two have beards that are more long. Mm-hmm. And then there's Wyatt's that's just like, it grows out as opposed to down.
Right.
Because of his round face.
Yeah.
Like, I can analyze their facial hair. It's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you're, you know, an artist and you do this kind of shit. So anyway, I think we're about done.
We're done there with the Wyatt.
Unless you have anything you'd like to add.
No, you pretty much covered it.
Okay.
Pretty much got it. You nailed it right on the head. Or the beard, rather.
The beard, yes. So, alright, well, on that note, do you have anything you'd like to rant about?
No.
Okay, well, then, start plugging.
Oh, I get to start plugging? Sweet. Tomorrow, Saturday night, midnight, it's at CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Ace, and Subway. It's Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega covering the week in pro wrestling. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, with myself and Lindsay Ward. Thursday night, we'll be back for another edition of Rack Live right here at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/RackRadioShow. Buy the official Rack t-shirt. Please, please, buy the t-shirt. Please, please, buy the t-shirt. I don't ask for much. Buy the t-shirt. Follow CB Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas, twitter.com/CBRadioWTR. Check out cbradio.eatawayzone.com for all 300 episodes. They're all there. Archive. Go listen to them. TheMeteorProductions.net. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's all. All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. You can go to CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. If you go to my webpage, under the Contact Us section, there is a link to my Redbubble store, which has a selection of my artwork available, including the brand spanking new Bray Wyatt piece that is up on my Behance profile. It is for sale if you'd like to buy it. There are also a couple other pieces up there as well for your buying pleasure. So please go check that out. Please go buy the official Rock Radio shirt, because we poor and we need money. Also, please visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and of course, Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye! I like your steeze, your style, your whole demeanor, the way you come through and holler and swoop me in his two seater. Now that's gangsta, and I got special ways to thank ya. It ain't that easy, I believe I'm gonna. You and me, they got ties for different reasons. Respect that, and right before I turned to leave, she said, you don't know what you've been to me.